Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose, and all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the men's room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the men's room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the men's room.
Hey, away we go. Welcome to show number 2,919. Along with Steve the Thrill Hill, the Ted Smith, Robin Fox, and Mike Hawk.
Come on.
Montgomery! Thank you. I'm in the men's room. On tap today, Ryan Castle's a drunken charge is into Sit and Spin. Today, the hands-only CPR edition of Sit and Spin. What you don't need to know has legends that are actually true. Get ready to play Profile This. Plus headlines, men's room shot of the day, fumble listener emails, and everyone's favorite TV time with Ted.
Clack.
You're going to draw. All right, here we go. Iowa cereal, Dine and Dasher caught at Applebee's, feeling good in the neighborhood. Meanwhile, a supposed dead man is found living the life of luxury in a castle instead of being stiff like wood. Actress Tara Reid and her support dog are booted off a plane. When it comes to the world's most disgusting foods, root beer being on the list is somewhat insane. And Canadian police believe that the naked shark swimmer also got in a fight right before that at medieval times. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, nothing new that animals make headlines, but squirrels have been around a lot. Last week, there was a woman that got kicked off of the Frontier. Thank you, Ted. That is a dead-on squirrel impression. A woman was kicked off the Frontier Airlines flight because she wouldn't part with her emotional support squirrel. I'm sorry, I just don't buy it. But anyway, that's the story. Then there's the story of the man from upstate New York. He died from what they're calling an extremely rare disease because he ate squirrel brains. He ate them voluntarily as though he is a squirrel zombie. And then in North Carolina, a man wanted to feed some squirrels in his backyard. He opened his back door, and he was shot in the arm. You see, he booby-trapped his own house, and then he forgot that he booby-trapped his own house. The good news is the booby-traps work. But that's squirrels in the news. Let's not forget about bears. Tis the season. They've been breaking into cars. A cub got its head stuck in a jar. And then in Wyoming, they're attacking elk hunters. In fact, the seventh bear attack in the area has happened since just May. In this case, the guy is hunting elk. The bear grabbed him, but lucky for the guy, his buddy had bear mace. Unlucky for the guy, he was attacked by a bear in the first place. Listen, animals are all over the place, whether it's your pet, whether it's a wild animal, someone else's pet. Sometimes they kind of do you dirty, man, whether they attack you, trick you, trip you, you name it. So today's question, when did an animal do you dirty?
Be part of the big show. Call 844-999. Also, like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send those emails to the Men's Room at mensroomlive.com. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
All the shows and away we go. Welcome to show number 2,919. What a large and charged program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat.
You really
I'm telling
think
you.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
you
absolutely
really think they're just
they're
selling people BS?
No, it's going to be a great show, just like yesterday.
The problem is, man, we've already recorded today's show, and I remember it going very awry.
Well, we're
going
to find out. Ryan Castle, the drunken charge, is coming into Sit and Spin, and today we'll get the hands-only, as he calls it, CPR edition of Sit and Spin.
Why does he insist on calling calling it hands only.
He insists on calling it hands only because you're using your hands to do the CPR and you have to keep a certain beat. And the songs that that he is bringing in, all of them, and there are a ton of songs that carry the right beat where you should do compressions for CPR. The most famous of those, I would guess, would be Staying Alive from the Bee Gees.
Very apropos.
They always say that that is the one if you're learning how to do CPR. Maybe you need a playlist on your phone of CPR songs just in case you're in one of these situations. We're going to give you some of those songs.
Seems bold to be like, I can do CPR, but first, let me put on a song.
Yeah, quick. You got a CPR folder in your music library. You know what I mean?
Hang on one second.
Which one do we want to do on this one? No, you just stay right there for a minute. I'll save your life in a second.
And I'm glad they brought up Staying Alive because, you know, everyone 25 and under, that is the first song that's going to come to mind.
Well, there are newer songs.
All right.
Yeah, sure, there's all kinds of songs in there and all kinds of genres as well. What You Don't Need to Know has legends that are actually true. Back before Google, back before you were able to fact check anything on Snopes, there were legends, some of them urban, some of them were there to scare you, there to spook you, whatever the deal is, make you feel afraid of whatever something is. Maybe it's a ghost in a house. Whatever.
The boogeyman is real, kids. That's what he's getting at.
The boogeyman is real.
Yeah, that thing under your bed, oh, it's there.
Oh, there is a real boogeyman. Believe it or not, there were, and I'll give you one more that's just crazy. They had a string of murders at one point in time through medicine cabinets.
Wait, what?
Yes, through medicine cabinets.
Okay.
Murderers came crawling through your medicine cabinet and would kill you and then would steal all the stuff from your place and they would be gone.
Hey, they must have been tiny killers.
Teeny tiny.
Well,
there's like 12 of them.
I mean, medicine cabinets this big. If you can slide through it, that's what they were coming through.
Look, man, if Peter Dinklage broke into your house and it's you against him, and look, I don't know anything about the guy, but I'd feel very confident.
Mm-hmm.
I've got this.
So that's coming up with What You Don't Need to Know Profile. This will drink it to us with a shot of the day. And today we're going to talk about when an animal did you dirty. And we'll start with a guy in Scotland. And this is not a good story. He is in a coma after an English bulldog bit his penis and testicles off.
Off.
When emergency crews arrived on the scene, they found the man unconscious in a pool of blood. The man lost his penis and both testicles as a result of the incident. No word on if the dog took care of that or if they remained there.
So when you go through this, they don't mention like if they found it or if the dog had eaten it, but they do point out the dog had basically a lot of blood.
Once the man was transported to the hospital, he was induced into a coma. Meanwhile, the dog who is responsible is being held in a kennel while the investigation into what actually happened continues. Authorities are unaware if the dog belongs to the man.
My understanding was that it's not his dog. I believe it was his friend's dog and he was dog sitting.
Oh, good time.
That is what I heard. But that said, right? So you read the story. Everyone has the same response. A dog ripped off his junk, twig and berries.
Mm-hmm.
And this is horrible. But the only way, because they're saying they're investigating this, the dog's out of kennel. 9 times out of 10, the dog's put down, right?
Yeah.
The only thing I could possibly think where that dog would not be put down is if that guy was doing something, you know, a little untowardly.
Let's change the gears on this one. A squirrel with large breasts is becoming a social media sensation. Check out the rack on that squirrel. So goes the story. There's a squirrel at the Park Zoo in Tokyo, and she's becoming a social media sensation. Why? Because of her very noticeable and voluptuous breasts.
Have you seen the picture?
No.
It is hilarious.
Enough right now. What do you mean?
It's not like she has boots. I think she's either holding something or she's got a little paws together.
She's
plumped
up for hibernation, is what they say.
But she's like pressing her chest together, and the way the silhouette hits it, it looks like, right? You got it up to it. So.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Hey.
It looks like that squirrel's about to ask you if you want a shot.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey. I got a tray of shooters.
I can do them here if you want.
Right. I'll just put them between.
Yeah. We did one of those at the Super Bowl, didn't we?
Did we?
I think we did.
Did we do a
breasticle shot at the Super Bowl?
I think that's the only one.
The reason I know that is because it's the one and only time I've ever done it.
I think I've done two. And actually, the first time I did it, I was so drunk already at this bar in my 20s, and this woman came up. And I'm trying to get this shot, and I completely fall out of the chair, onto the floor, and I'm booted out.
Right. And keep in mind, they come up to you.
Yeah, I didn't want that, man.
Like, you go, like, I'm going to go get a breast shot. You're kind of just sitting there minding your own business, and then all of a sudden a girl comes up and goes, and puts it like that, and goes, like, here.
I woke up once with a girlfriend and said, man, I got wasted. Nothing bad happened last night. She goes, no. You did a shot of Jaeger out of my cousin's breast.
I was like, oh, no.
Sorry.
You have a knack for that. I'm going to go through the old story, but a fairly disastrous night at an event years ago, right? At a different radio station. And Ted calls me the next morning. He's like, hey, man, just keep in mind, I'm happy to hear from Ted. It's that kind of night. So he goes, hey, man, I didn't do anything stupid, did I? Are you being serious, Ted? Yeah, it's like, bro, I don't, honest to God, I don't know where to begin. Like, everything you did was stupid. I don't think you'll lose your job, but there's no way you're not in trouble.
Yeah, something's going to happen. We don't know.
Right.
And one more for you real quick here before we move on to the calls. A woman who was escorted off her Frontier Airlines flight on Tuesday after bringing her emotional support squirrel on board is speaking out against the airline. Cindy Torek told Fox 8 News that she called the airline ahead of time to get clearance and even made it through TSA with her 11-week-old squirrel, Daisy.
Yeah, Daisy the squirrel, sure.
Before the airline forced her to leave the plane. They said, either you walk off the plane or I'm going to arrest you for trespassing and we're going to take that squirrel. I said, you're not taking my squirrel. Sorry, you're not taking my squirrel. I refuse. You will not take my baby from me. Torek said her daughter was reimbursed and Frontier gave her a voucher for another flight, but she still plans to seek legal counsel after the ordeal.
Let it go.
I was treated very poorly. I was called a liar by one of the stewardesses. I'm going for blood. I'm going all the way. I'm contacting an attorney.
Well, apparently your support squirrel's not helping you. If you're this, what do you need to have wrong with you where they give you a squirrel? Right? It's almost like placebo. Like, hey, man, they're just a hypochondriac. Give them a sugar pill and tell them to this. Like, yeah. Here's a squirrel. Be on your way.
Jonathan Freed, the director of corporate communications at Frontier, says rodents, including squirrels, not allowed on Frontier flights. The incident delayed the flight by approximately 2 hours. Yay. Our question, when did an animal do you dirty? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Joe. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, just want to let you guys know, I've been listening since you guys first started out. I love you guys.
How old were you when you started listening?
I think I was 21 or 22. I was just starting out as an electrician.
And now you're retiring. You're 63?
No, 30. Okay. Almost 36.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, I moved out to my uncle's place out in Roy. And a couple years ago, he had this dog. And this black lab, and that dog and my dog, one day while we were out shopping, and came back, and the two dogs were attacking the pig, and it previously killed a goat like a week before that.
Like a pet goat, I'm guessing?
So anyways, we kind of started to get the idea the dog was a little aggressive, and we started putting it in a pen every day, so it couldn't get none of the animals, and one day, it was just normal, I was going to put it in the pen, and the dog just latched onto my hand, and I had to end up punching in the face a couple times to get it off of me. And pretty much for a second, I've never been scared of dogs in my life, but I felt like I was in the movie Cujo for a minute.
Well, yeah, things change when things happen.
Yeah.
You know,
you get attacked by an animal, it's a hell of a lot.
In that moment, you tend to fear them.
Oh, yeah, I was scared, and never been scared of an animal before like that. And of course, I didn't have my gun on me at the time. I normally, first thing I do is put my gun on me. I carry every day. And first thing I did, I was like, man, I got to wash my hand. Washed it off real good. Grab the gun, go out there, and the dog's like in the doghouse. He's like raring his teeth to the door like he's going to jump out at me and stuff, So I was like, I didn't really know what to do. I took a shot at it, and I ended up barely nicking it. He ran out of the doghouse. And I'm like, at that point, I'm stalking the dog, I'm like waiting for that thing to jump out of, around the corner and get me or something, And then,
your day is going downhill.
I ended up finding it was all hunkered down, and I pulled out my 500 and put one right between his eyes.
Jesus. And is your uncle cool with this when he gets home? Like, hey, funny story, man. I shot your dog in the face.
Yeah, my uncle was a little butthurt about it, but he wasn't mad because he knew it was pretty aggressive, and it actually tried to attack him the week before that, and he was, said he'd shoot it if it ever attacked him. So,
what kind of dog did you say this was?
More butthurt than anybody, because for some reason she wanted the dog even after it attacked stuff. She was all super butthurt that I killed it.
What was the dog that was aggressive? What breed?
It was a black lab.
Okay.
Bull.
Huh. Black lab.
But it was like, it came from, weird thing, it came from a drug house or something, because the dog was weird, and it would like chase, like the birds would fly over and you'd see the shadows, and it would be chasing the shadows all day around the yard and stuff.
Yeah,
dogs are kind of straight. Man, my dog used to try to chase crows in spite of the fact that they could fly. And my dog knew this, the crows, and still, this dog would jump as though it's going to suddenly fly this day. And either the dog's an idiot or it's just having fun.
Yeah, I house sat of the dog that obviously didn't live in the city. and it was just blown away by pigeons and hated them.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, look.
Well, sure. Every time the pigeon, like, but same thing. The pigeons fly, like, but she went after them every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let them know.
Well, look, some people end up being doctors. Other people, not that smart. You know, when you're growing up, you go to school and you know who the smart kids are. Dogs are the same way. Like, I've had two dogs in the last 10 years that are very incredibly intelligent dogs as far as what they can scheme and get away with. I've also had a dog that...
They also like the taste of their own genitalia.
Yeah, and just...
Let's not forget to point that out.
Yeah, they all do. And I've also had dogs who are just like, you are the dumbest thing on this planet.
Well, it's just like a person.
You just don't know.
You just kind of look, man. Nothing's there.
Nothing's there.
Keep your expectations low with this one.
Nobody's home. What did an animal do you dirty? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Paula. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So, I used to raise snakes, and, you know, I got some through the zoo. People would call and try to dump their, you know, crocodiles, snakes, and stuff that had outgrown them onto the zoo. And the zoo had the numbers of a few people who they checked out and knew they were somewhat competent, at least.
You're looking for. Mm-hmm. Just be somewhat competent.
Here's an 18-foot python.
Exactly, yes. So, and they do not do this anymore for good reason. So I had, you know, a bunch of these snakes kind of between 15 and 18 feet. And I did it for 20 years. I had a great safety record. And I never looked at them as pets. They're like horses or, you know, any other large thing that can hurt you if you do something wrong. But anyway, I had one that was sick, and it had crawled up about, 5 feet high on top of some cages. And you really don't want a large snake to be up where it can grab your head.
Well, we're not experts, but we agree. We agree with that wholeheartedly.
Did it grab your head?
Paula, I don't like where this is going.
Please continue.
I'm alive. So, anyway.
We've gathered that much.
Spoiler alert. She lives.
Yeah. But, so anyway, the snake had been sick a long time and wasn't interested in food. So, it kind of, just left it up there. I didn't want to move it. And one day when I was working in there, it saw the little top of my fuzzy head, and they sensed temperature. And, you know, it was a little warm-blooded top of my head that it saw bouncing back and forth. It couldn't see the rest of me. And it decided it was hungry after all those months of not eating. And, you know, this is probably a 15, 16-foot snake. And it struck and grabbed my scalp. And I froze. You know, you don't want to struggle in these situations. And you don't. Well, you wouldn't either. The teeth go into your bone, and they're little spiny teeth, so they don't mess you up too much. But it's a great inspiration not to move. And so I just froze there, and if you struggle, that's when they're more likely to throw some coils around you. And I sort of just stood there. It was maybe a minute and a half or 2 minutes, and had a lot of private thoughts with myself, because, you know, if they wrap around your head, your upper arm, you know, your arms, and you can't get them off.
So wait a minute, you're telling us that for 1 minute or thereabouts,
or two,
you are, and I understand you know what you're doing, but like if I were to walk into this room, I would just see you standing perfectly still with a big ass snake's mouth wrapped around the top of your head.
Yeah, and I would plead with you not to intervene, to just wait it out.
No problem.
I get a machete.
Yeah, I didn't have a machete. So anyway, it ended up sort of deciding I was dead, and decided it would kind of throw some coils down and try to drag me up on top of the cages and eat me. And so it started tugging, and I thought, oh boy, things might get interesting now. And, like, you know, if I pulled away, if I just used all my strength to pull away, it would have ripped my scalp, you know. So that wasn't really an option.
No, you don't want to mess up the hair.
No, no. But so anyway, it gave a little tug. It tried to throw down a little bit of a coil, and then it realized that it had something bigger than it had anticipated. And then it let go. And that doesn't always happen. I was really lucky.
But you weren't lucky. It just didn't end as poorly as it could.
Was this the end of your snake-keeping days?
No. You know what? Bull riding, motorcycle racing, motocross, you know, horse training. It's not, these aren't pets. These were animals that I was interested in. And, you know, that I had learned from
Listen, I hear what you're saying about, like, motorcycle riding or anything that is inherently dangerous.
Yeah, but it's not going to eat you.
Right, the motorcycle is not actively seeking you out to hurt you. You have to lose control of it or some outside thing. The only thing with the living animal, even if it's a horse, like, if it makes the decision, like, it has its own brain. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, the motorcycle does what you ask it to do, and when it doesn't, either it messed up or you messed up, but even when you wipe out, it's not trying to kill you. Things are just the snake is trying to eat you.
Do you still have these snakes?
I don't, but not because of that. It's just I moved on and got more dangerous animals.
What do you have now?
Geez.
Horses.
Oh.
So much more dangerous. I can't. They don't try to kill you, and they don't want to eat you. They just, you know, they're
large.
You know, half the size of a piano, and they do crazy stuff. And, you know, anybody who's had horses for the 20 years that I had snakes will have far more interesting stories than me.
No, you got a good one.
The difference is how we take it, though. Like, we understand things go wrong with horses, but people aren't just universally terrified of horses.
No.
Right?
You realize when you get beside, well, man, this is a big animal.
It's a big ass animal.
Right, but you don't think, like, all the snakes going to rip my head off.
When did an animal do you dirty? 844-999. All the more your calls coming up. You are listening to the Men's Room Radio Network.
Hola, bitchola. You have entered the men's room.
One North Carolina man failed to heed the warning
that when you're setting up booby traps in your home, make sure you don't accidentally set them off yourself.
He ended up getting shot Monday morning. The Gaston Gazette reports police say one Edwin Smith, who is 68 years old, had rigged a shotgun facing his back door. And after going outside to feed squirrels around 11:30, he opened the door and the gun fired, hitting him in the right arm.
Because he's good at setting up booby traps.
It's not clear whether he forgot about the booby trap or if the trap malfunctioned. Either way, I've never seen anything quite like this, according to the Cleveland County Sheriff's Office. I blew my arm off, Smith can be heard saying in a 911 call. First responders, who went through the home carefully to make sure there were no other booby traps, found him severely wounded but alert, and he was transferred to a hospital. One of his neighbors says Smith stood up for our neighborhood when drugs and bad people started moving in. Smith's property has a large sign warning of crackheads, meth heads, heroin users, drug dealers, anyone doing criminal activity, and illegal aliens to stay the hell off this private road. And he ended up shooting himself.
Wouldn't you think that if you set up a booby trap, you'd at least remember you set it in your house? One. Two, imagine being the first responders.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they're giving you this call like, hey, man, when you get there, we can't really guarantee your safety. It's booby trap.
My question is this, and I don't want to look it up because that blows the whole conversation. Why is it called a booby trap?
I don't know, man.
Like, because if I had some boobies, and I would buy that trap if I knew that I could catch
some
boobies.
They don't spell it like booby, do they?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. How many different ways you spell booby? It's either I-E or Y, right?
And either way, it's still a booby.
Well, wait a minute. What about like the bird? There's a boob, right?
So
like
you think booby? It's
bird? No, you think that's what it is?
I don't know. Look, man, the only boobies I know, there's birds and there's breast. And I don't really, because I would think a booby trap otherwise would just be a bra.
It could be the breast of a bird.
Right?
Yeah.
Our question, when did an animal do you dirty? 844-999-OLA.
We got this comment came in. I just want to make everyone a little uncomfortable, particularly if you own a cat. When I had a really bad cold, I was sleeping and my mouth was open. My cat was laying next to me. And he puked wet and dry cat food directly into my mouth.
Oh
man, that's...
Oh,
I can't even explain.
It's like a mama, bird feeding her young.
It is, but like cat food somehow is just significantly grosser than even dog food. It really is, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because they put more fish. I don't know.
There's fish in it. I mean, I like my dry food that I give my cat is like six different kinds of fish. Right. So when you open up that bag, it's like, oh. He loves it.
Is it like some super healthy thing?
As healthy as a fish can be.
Dude, look,
cat food form.
I think your cat would not care.
It's the same crap that Castle feeds his dogs.
But for cats, right?
No, but for dog. Well, yeah, the dog formula. But
okay, no, I just want to make sure.
The nuggets are different, I think, but it's the same general crap.
Miles, the booby trap, of course, the Spanish word bobo translates to stupid.
Oh.
So then there was like other trans. So basically, it's almost like you're a boob if you got caught in the trap.
I see.
So it has nothing to do with breast
birds. Somehow, boob is derogatory then.
See, to me,
we still use it derogatory.
How many people call you
a boob? If somebody calls you a boob, that's not a good thing.
It should be a compliment, though.
It depends. Not all boobs are awesome. I mean, I mean, this whole thing, like, you'd like to think, oh, man, she had naked. Well, who's the woman?
Yeah, right? No body part, really, when somebody describes you as one, is good. Somebody calls you
you're
a D.
Yeah, like. You're a P. You're right. Like, if you've been described as a body part, it's not good. You're an arm.
Yeah, man, you're like a damn kneecap.
When did an animal do you dirty? 844-999-OLA.
Hello, Rick. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, back when I was 17, I took a trip to Montana with my friend and his family. We decided to go up and check out a fishing spot. I was the passenger seat. He was driving a minivan. His parents were ahead of us. So on the way back, they're behind us. We came around the corner, and in Montana, these gravel roads, the speed limit's like 40, 45 miles an hour. I don't know why. So we came around the corner going 40 miles an hour, and there's a full-grown moose standing in the middle of the road. And I don't know about you guys, but when you see something that's taller than a minivan, you do not want to hit it. So we ended up sliding about 30 yards, and there is no trees in sight. The miracle of the story is there's only two trees about 3 feet apart, about 1 foot, not a very big tree, and we ended up sliding and landing against these trees.
And if you hadn't, what? You'd have taken over an edge?
You'd have taken a moose, like the main body of a moose, right to the face, to the dash, right? Because you're in a van, so there's no front end of it. And as high as a moose stands, basically, it's just your face, your chest, into the body, the cavity of a moose.
How tall is the average moose? Like, I know they're big.
Huge.
I think they would have been.
We're in a 95 Dodge Caravan, and this thing towered over the minivan.
Jeez. Yeah, if you hit that moose, he wouldn't be talking to us.
I mean, I get that part, but I just didn't realize they were that big. I know they're big, but if they're that big, when we went to Alaska, and a woman says, hey, man, we're outside of the bar. Moose, honestly, if it comes up, holy crap, I'm looking at a picture. Like, don't mess with it. Why would you think I would mess with it?
Look how big that thing is.
That is crazy.
It is crazy.
God,
it's unbelievable.
Damn.
Our question, when did an animal do you dirty? 844-999. Hold the line where your call's coming up here in seconds.
The shenanigans continue on the Men's Room Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.